Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you on this Saturday, getting you set for the Riders and the BC Lions at BC Place in Vancouver, where the Lions will try to seek their revenge on that loss at Mosaic Stadium a few weeks ago. But, of course, they have Nathan Rourke at quarterback. It was Jeremiah Masoli last time out. Real quick, before we get to who's going to eat, Environment Canada has issued another tornado warning. That is for the RM of Wise Creek, which includes Cadillac and Admiral. That's in the southwest portion of the province. They believe a tornado location around 20 kilometers southeast of Admiral, with that storm moving east at 30 kilometers. So keep your eye on the sky if you're in that area. Heed the tornado warning from Environment Canada this afternoon. Right now, who's going to eat?
Who's going to eat with Belton Johnson?
Presented by Sherwood Co-op.
1, 2, 3, let's eat!
Each and every week, Belton Johnson, Daryl Davis, myself, break down the matchups we're looking at that could be favorable for a big day for a couple of the players on each team. And then, of course, it's Belton Johnson's tailgating tip with Sherwood Co-op. But first off, Belton, where do you want to start on who's going to eat?
Let's start on the offense there, Jamie.
The Rough Riders offense?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going with the Rough Riders offense?
I'm going to go unconventional here. I'm going to go McCray.
Oh,
I just like what he did in the preseason, and you know, now he's going to get his opportunity here to shine.
So a couple of big kick returns maybe tonight for Dre McCray, who's in for Mario Alford. All right. I like that. Daryl Davis, what do you got?
I think they're going to try to really hard to reestablish a running attack. So I think AJ Ouellette's going to be, he's going to eat.
Well, I already have him at 99 yards. He's back in the lineup. He's the guy I take about 90% of the time. Samuel Emelis is going to eat today for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders against the BC Lions secondary. I avoid him going up against Gary Peters, but elsewhere I could see Sam Emelis. I have him at 99 yards. Maybe it could be more than that on who's going to eat. All right. Belton Johnson, McCray, Daryl Davis, Ouellette. I'm going Sam Emelis. Where are we going to next?
Let's go to Rider defense, James.
Riders defense. Bully ball. Who's going to eat?
I'm going Micah Johnson. I just feel like he seems to always have a good game over there at BC Place.
Micah Johnson for the Rough Riders defensive line. Daryl Davis.
After one game back, I think the Tavon Campbell will be a target. And I think he'll respond as he usually does.
Mm-hmm. Carry the two. I'm going to go C.J. Revis. I'm going to go C.J. Revis as that Sam linebacker, trying to maybe use him, move him around to confuse Nathan Rourke a few times this afternoon. I'll go C.J. Revis is going to eat. So we have Tavon Campbell, C.J. Revis, Micah Johnson having big games. So that's it for the Rough Riders story. Belton Johnson, who's going to eat for the B.C. Lions? And where are you going to begin?
Let's go with the defense over there, Jamie.
The defense of the B.C. Lions. I'm just checking. Okay, just two sacks for the B.C. Lions. But what do you got? Who's going to eat?
I got to go Betts, man.
Matthew Betts.
He's that nagging fly B.
That's who I was going to take too, because I thought they're going to sack him a few times. So I'll go to Gary Peters. And
you're going to corner. I thought you were going to Gary Peters.
Go to the other line. No, I think Betts is going to have a big game.
All righty, I'll go to the opposite side and to Hema.
Yeah,
I'm going to go on the opposite side of Betts for who's going to eat for the BC Lions.
The defensive ends, hey,
defense. Yep.
Figure they're matching up pretty well against
Darius Washington. Yeah. He gets two full practices in for his first ever start.
Man, Jamie,
you kidding me?
That's why I said four. Didn't I say four sacks?
You did. Yeah, you then you wanted the secondary guy for who's going to eat. So I was a little thrown off there.
I thought Matthew Betts is going to get three of them. That's why.
Okay. We go to the offense of the BC Lions. Belton, who do you have having a big game?
Hatcher.
Keon Hatcher Sr. For the BC Lions.
Butler.
You couldn't wait to get it out.
Okay.
Butler.
I didn't know we were short on time today, but.
Well, just in case. Well, we don't have 7 hours like last week.
That's true. That's true. We can move it along here a little bit. He's kind of had a slow start to the year. I'm waiting for that breakout game. Justin McInnes.
Yeah.
I know he's got 300 yards. Like, it hasn't been a bad start to the season, but through six games, that's on pace for that's nowhere near what he had last year as the top Canadian. So I'm going to go Justin McInnes on who's going to eat for the BC Lions offense. But right now, each and every week, Belton Johnson digs into his recipe book for us and a tailgating tip with Sherwood Co-op. We've already been eating it, full disclosure. When he gave the hint of scoops earlier this week, I was getting my appetite. I didn't eat all day because I knew what might be coming. Belton, what are we eating on our tailgating tip?
Smoked queso.
Smoked queso. And by the way, I didn't tweet it out. I was about to tweet it out earlier today when I drove by your house. I said, the cover's off the smoker, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go.
Oh, Jay, you'd be surprised how many people walk up, you know, down Stockton back there. And what are you cooking? Smoked queso today, guys. So with the smoked queso, we want to get that smoker cranked up to 250 degrees right off the hop there, just to get it nice and warm. And, you know, I had my son, I had Max helping me this morning. He wanted to cook up the ground beef and everything. And, you know, we're measuring out the garlic powder, the onion powder, and smoked paprika, chili powder. He did not want to put cayenne in it. I'm like, why? Like, he said, nah.
He doesn't like spice?
He likes spice. He just didn't want it today. So I was like, okay, Max. Well, because I made him run 15 hills a day at French Park there. So he's...
50.
He might have been just a little. I got to get them all moving there, right?
Okay, yeah. You and Jamarcus Hardrick.
Too much sitting around playing Roblox, right?
There you go.
Too much sitting around playing Roblox.
That's right, Jamie. And so Max, he was cooking up the ground beef there and everything, and once that was ready, put it in the aluminum pan there, diced up the Velveeta cheese, some onions, some garlic. Threw in two cans of Rotel tomato there. And once had that all ready, the grill or the smoker was nice and hot, put it on the smoker there and told Max, close the lid, set the timer for 2 hours. Do not touch it. I don't want you open it, nothing. Just let it go. So it smoked for about 2 hours. And after that 2 hours up, I went out there, stirred it up a bit, you know, closed it a little bit more. And about 15 minutes later, I added a sour cream to it, a little bit of sour cream, and then let it go for another 15 minutes on the smoker, pulled it off, and then brought in you guys, you know, the scoops chip there. So, and there's the smoked queso, and broad enough, you can actually put that on noodles. You can put it on broccoli.
Oh, that would be pretty good with anything.
It could go with anything.
Including the scoops.
Yeah.
Doritos.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And I picked all the ingredients up at Sherwood Co-op up there, right? It was right after we did our hill running. And I didn't run.
Yeah, didn't run?
They ran. Okay. I don't have to run.
You're the coach.
I ride the bike. I'm good.
And do the cooking.
Yep.
They're delicious, man.
There is your smoked queso tailgating tip from Belton Johnson. Are we going to have any left for the game?
Sherwood Co-op.
It's starting to get thin. Might have to go out and get another batch. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, a pregame show. We'll hear from the head coach, Corey Mace, next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson. I truly don't know who Belton and Daryl are picking this week. I missed your prediction on Evan Bray's show.
Yeah.
I haven't heard what Daryl's going with yet. I know who I'm picking. It's public knowledge out there from CFL.ca on who I'm selecting. So we'll see if it's going to be unanimous, if it's going to be a split. It's been rare we've disagreed with each other on who's going to win the game, except for that one time, Belton.
Oh, yeah. One time, yeah.
Who did you pick? Did you pick BC? No.
It was Argos, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was one of those teams.
Yeah. It was in Toronto. That's true. Yep. Yeah, you picked Toronto. Otherwise, we've all picked the Riders.
I think so. We've been... Not this week, I can tell you that much.
That might change.
But right now, we're going to hear from the head coach from the coach's chair.
Let's go!
He's got the answers to the questions you want to know about the green and white. Now, the coach's chair.
We hear from the head coach of the Saskatchewan Roughriders before kickoff as he spoke to reporters before they left to Vancouver about the notion of bully ball and if that's a directive from the head coach.
It's just part of the mentality of the team. You know, we want to be known as a physical football team in all three phases. And, you know, unfortunately for us, we felt that we didn't show up in that manner last week. It's just a style of play, just, you know, dominating your one-on-ones. So, the guys kind of want to get back to that.
Corey, just looking back to last game, I think the run game is probably the most underwhelming part of the offensive's game. But when things like that aren't going well, whether it's on the offense or the defense, are you a kind of guy that likes to see the team get back to what it's good at or change something up?
Well, it's just part of our mentality, right? We want to make sure that we're sturdy defending the run and we're able to establish run offensively. And again, you know, two things that I thought that we hadn't been good at last week. So it is a part of who we want to be, no doubt. But, you know, obviously having offensively speaking, having Trevor back there, we can switch it up pretty quick, right? So, you always want to have your run game rolling, though. I think that's probably every team.
Can we see more Kadeem Carey this week? Maybe a couple more packages where... You know, you just try to give teams a different look as the season goes on, just trying to, you know, give them something they haven't seen out of you guys.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, whether he's just rolling in substitution or we're in our twins packages or, you know, any other packages that we may have, there's no doubt. But whoever, you know, gets the nod, whether it's Kadeem, AJ, or receivers or whomever, you know, when the call comes in, we just got to execute, man. That's really what it's about.
How much does Nathan change the game for you as a defensive coordinator compared to where Jeremiah Masoli was at?
Nathan, he's incredible. He sees the field really well. He sees the shells well. He makes quick decisions. And obviously, if he doesn't like what he sees, he can go ahead and take off himself and move the chains, right? So you got to play him for everything, man. He's a really good quarterback and, you know, obviously gets a lot of love in this league, and rightfully so. He's an excellent quarterback. So, some things, the way you look at it, might change a little bit, but ultimately same thing. Whatever the heck we call, man, we just got to execute it.
AJ Allen said after the last game the defense created holes and Vernon Adams was able to take advantage of. Have you shored up those holes on the defense to be able to kind of stop what BC can do against you?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's just, you know, that's the gift and curse sometimes of being a zone defense, is if they find them quick, that they're going to be able to capitalize. But also, even with our man coverage, you know, we just had bus. So a lot of it was mental bus. And some of it was, you know, VA was making excellent throws, as I'm sure, you know, Nathan's going to have a few that's going to make people say, oh, my goodness, that's that Rourke guy. But ultimately, if we can anticipate and make plays on the ball or understand where it's going, we do. We have to shore up. We have obviously talked about it, but we got to tighten up back there.
Is that mental? You said mental. Or is it also communication-wise on switches, coverages, like in the moment, or is it just in the wrong spot?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both, man. We had some miscommunications and we had some just brain farts, for a lack of a better term. That was disheartening to see. Usually not in our makeup. But again, core group of guys returning, man. They know the expectations. They know how we want to get things done. We just got to tighten up.
That offense all over the place. They have five guys over 200 yards receiving. Then they throw James Butler at you with Nathan Rourke. What do the BC Lions have offensively?
Man, they got a lot going on for them. You know, they got guys, who can go up and get it. If it's a ball being thrown up, they got guys who can blow the top off the defense. They got guys who can yak it up. You know, they got a great running back with James as well. They got a good offensive line, man, and obviously we already talked about Nathan. So you match that with Buck Pierce play calling. Yeah, they're a really good offense. But you know, we feel like it's definitely a matchup that we feel we can meet, and obviously hopefully walk away with a win.
Yeah, the last time out, these two teams at Mosaic Stadium, it was a battle of the backups. It was Jake Mayer against Jeremiah Masoli, and of course Jake Mayer wasn't flashy, but he was mistake-free.
Yeah.
On the other side, Jeremiah Masoli was coughing off the football, including a pick six to Tavon Campbell in that football game in what ended up being a rider's route. James Butler and A.J. Ouellette both went over 100 yards rushing in that game, too, going back to Mosaic Stadium. So both teams want to establish the run again tonight, Darrell.
That's the only way you can get an offense going is to make sure that you can run the football as well. BC's done it exceptionally well with Butler, and the Riders did early on in the season. The only team that's really stopped them was Calgary last week. So I'm sure they're going to want to make sure they're multidimensional this time. It makes Trevor Harris a much better quarterback if he can throw and also hand off the football. But the difference the differences in the two teams is BC has a quarterback who can add to the running game. If Trevor Harris is running for the Rough Riders, it's because he's flushed. He usually gets 8 yards whenever he carries because he only does it once or twice a game, but he isn't part of the running attack. So it's an advantage. If both teams have a multidimensional running attacks or offensive game plans, then the BC Lions have an advantage.
Well, my thing is with the run game, it's more so for the Riders, right? The BC Lions, they have that film, right? They saw what the Stampeders did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if the Riders going to have a counterpunch to that, right? Like, because BC, they're going to do whatever the Stamps did because that's what football is. You watch the film. We're going to do what they did, see if we can stop it, right?
Copycat.
It is. That's what it is. And so what are the Riders going to do? Are they going to run a counter or, you know, something different than what they normally been running if they get the look, what they had gotten last week versus the Stamps, if the BC does it?
Yep.
How are we going to counter that, right? That's my thing. How are they going to do it? What are they going to do?
That's why that was a good question. We were wondering why don't they put Kadeem Carey in a little bit, right? Change
Something,
things
right?
up a little bit.
Yeah.
I was surprised they didn't put Jake Mayer in last week too, right? Mm-hmm. Trevor Harris wasn't, to be honest, even though the stats say he played pretty well, he wasn't playing very well. So why not change the pace, especially late in the game, right?
Yes.
They didn't seem, although they seemed to think that they were close.
After that
third quarter, they didn't do much. So they got that one drive. So you're right. Change some things up on offense a little bit. Maybe put Tommy Stevens in a little bit to run a couple of power games with a little bit. They ran the ball effectively with Stevens and Ouellette in there a couple of times earlier this season. So try that. And on defense, change that up. As Corey Mace said, if they get on us early in zone, they find – that's what Calgary did last week.
They absolutely found out
the key to that defense right early in the game. So change it a little bit this time. I think they're going to have to because they're going to have to show different things in this game than they did against Calgary, exactly as you said, Belton.
Jamie Nye, Darrell Davis, Belton Johnson. This is the Green Zone pregame show. We have a lot more to come, including Britton Gray's player profile interview with Lake Corte Moore, going back to his second home where he spends his offseason on the West Coast, as well as around the Canadian Football League as some controversy with the return of Sean Lemon to the Canadian Football League, plus some more bold predictions, including our final score prediction and a roster check. It's all directly ahead before a 5 o'clock kickoff on TSN, the Riders in Vancouver to take on the Lions. This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Darrell Davis, Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson with you on this Saturday afternoon. Just 2 hours of pregame coverage this week instead of the, how many hours do we do? Seven?
You were on for seven.
Plus the Saturday, carry the two. I think it was 11 hours of game day coverage for you last week because of the smoke delay.
We all survived. We did a better job than the Riders did.
So did the fans for coming. Like the amount of fans who came back. That was impressive.
That was impressive
last week. And a lot of them traveling before on Friday night, and then traveling back. A little bit more into that and what's maybe ahead for the Canadian Football League for a protocol. But first, we want to get to Britton Gray's player profile interview. And this week, he had a chat with Lake Corte Moore, who played college ball in Vancouver.
So I went to school at UBC. Heading out to BC, is it still kind of like a little bit of a homecoming for you when you head out there?
Definitely, yeah. No, I spend my off seasons up there in Whistler, so I got a lot of friends and family out there, and it is kind of my home now, so it's definitely a little bit of a homecoming.
Whistler, what are you doing out snowboarding in the off season, or what are you doing out in Whistler?
Yeah, just training. I work a little bit too, so just that and enjoy the time off a bit, and yeah, and grind out up there as well. So
you probably went to a lot of BC Lions games just as a member of UBC and everything, 50-50s and whatnot. Just what's it like to see kind of what they're doing out there, getting the fans out and everything?
Yeah, it's good. It's awesome to see them kind of bring something alive out there. They got the Whitecaps as well, and then they have the Canucks. So it's awesome to see sports kind of take a bigger picture there. Obviously, over my years of being at school at the beginning, it wasn't as big to go to the games. And then kind of further along, they've started to get bigger, and so it's nice to see that growth of the sport out there.
Long snapping. How's that going for you?
It's good. Yeah, I did it. I did it all of high school, and then I did it for Team Canada, and then I was always the backup at UBC, and I had a few games where I had to play because of injury and stuff like that. So I kind of always done it, and then getting here, just learning from Jorgen's huge. He's awesome. He's taught me so much. He's the best in the league, in my opinion. And so I've just learned a lot, and it's something that is always good to have in your back pocket. And it's something that I try to do to help out this team as much as I can, and help him out too. He's obviously getting up there in age, but, so to take a few practice reps from him and things like that, and always make sure that the coaches know that they have a trustworthy guy that's able to do it, if need be. But, obviously, I'm hoping I don't snap at all this year, but I'm ready.
What's it like for you to contribute a little bit more on defense as well? Kind of, you're becoming a veteran now already in this league.
Yeah, no, it's good. Obviously, we have amazing defensive end D-line room. We got Shane Ray and Scoop up front starting, and then we got Hobba and I behind, and I think any one of us could start any day for us, and the coaches will trust us out there. And it's been awesome. I just go in there and do my job and try to get better each and every day, learn from everyone. And when my number's called to be on the field, I do my best to contribute to the team and to this defense. And, yeah, it's just been great. And it's awesome to be in a system for the second year in a row and just play fast this year.
What's different about the team this year? Just obviously it's only one loss, but you guys don't want it to snowball like it has the past few seasons. So what's about this team that they can have that bounce back?
Yeah, no, I have been the last 2 years. We've had those six game streaks, and I want those to be over. But yeah, no, I think that we have a veteran group, a great group. All even after that game last week, we all were there for each other, and we know that that wasn't us, and we're gonna push each other to do better each and every week. And yeah, just from there, I just feel it's different this year. The room's different. We've all been part of the system. We know the culture, and we're going to push each other to be the best versions of ourselves.
That is the Lake Corte Moore in a player profile interview by our Green Zone Rider reporter, Britton Gray, on this Saturday, getting set for the Riders and the Lions at BC Place. As we want to go around the Canadian Football League. Let's start with last week.
No, I want to hear your opinion on Sean Lemon.
I think people have heard my opinion on Sean Lemon.
I haven't. Maybe Belton hasn't.
I haven't.
Didn't you have your window open?
What was the opinion, James?
James got pretty strong opinion.
Is he excited that Lemon's returned?
Gosh,
or?
Oh, yeah. No? He's irate. I'll let him tell you.
Why are you irate?
Why?
Yeah. A little bit of gambling? Jamie?
On your own game? No, you're just poking me. You know exactly. You saw it on Twitter. I know you saw it on Twitter. Both of you.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Both of you.
Get it on your chest, Jamie.
Trying to light a fuse here on the Green Zone pregame show. Sean Lemon reinstated by the Canadian Football League after an indefinite suspension after they found that he was gambling on CFL games, including one bet on his own team in a game in which he was playing. The cardinal sin of sports, gambling on your own team in a game in which you are participating in. And I've heard from people who know Sean Lemon. I My phone lit up after that rant went online. Oh, come on! He bet on his own team to win. What's wrong with that? Here's my question. So there should be a rule in the CFL that everybody should be allowed to bet so long as it's on their own team to win. That's okay?
I don't think it is, James.
Try managing that gong show. Mm-hmm. That you're going to say to the players, okay, yeah, as long as you bet on, well, how about this? What about the spread? That going to be a rule? If they bet under 3.5 points?
Then they intentionally fumble a ball or don't recover a fumble because they don't want to change the spread.
Yeah. Or it's the kicker. And I could go up by 6 or I could win. And maybe I'll miss this one. Or the quarterback, wide open guy in there. Oh, I missed him. Darn it. Well, no, nobody would ever do that. I'm like, you open the door if you allow it. This cannot be precedent that it's okay as long as you bet on your team to win. There are so many dominoes that fall after that.
That would be.
I am not impressed. And then, to top it off, because he has to serve a 2-game suspension.
Yep.
Because Sean Lemon violated the drug policy while he was suspended. So what does the Alouettes do? They sign him a couple of moments before the window closes on game day roster management. So they signed him on, Thursday night? Before that game. So that game counts as one of his 2-game suspension. That game counts. He was in the building for a half an hour. That game counted for his 2-game suspension.
Wow.
Because he was on the practice roster right before the game, they can put him on the active roster in a situation. So that counted, apparently, for the 1-game or one of his 2-game suspensions.
They're playing within the rules, Jamie.
It's Jamie's always said. It's not cheating. They're playing within the rules. That's the way it's spelled out. Jamie, you guys are right. You should not be allowed to bet on your league. If you're involved with it, you should not be allowed at all. But
he bet on a game in which he was playing.
I know, which is even worse. But Jamie asked me if I'm in favor. I've become a cynic, Belton, because these leagues, they wear crests of betting companies on their jerseys, on their helmets. You look up and every game is sponsored by these betting companies. Mm-hmm. They've sold their soul. All sports have sold their soul to the betting companies. The fact that they're now surprised and trying to suspend people for betting, it's a lost cause in my mind. So they shouldn't be allowed to do it. But
it's not a lost cause. It has to be a cause in which leagues do clamp down on. It has to be, or you lose any credibility. And you can say they've lost the credibility because they've allowed gambling for the fans, anyways. But you cannot have, because if you open that door of saying, okay, you can bet on games in which, and you have 6 suspensions on guys who bet on games in which they are playing, because the closer you allow these players to go to that line, the more likely a couple of them are going to step over it.
Oh, agree.
Your league's toast.
Yeah.
If fans go, I can't. The players are manipulating the game to win.
I think we're on that path, Jamie, and that's what really worries me most.
Yeah, I'm worried, too.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm worried, too, and that's why I think you got a lifetime ban. No second chances for this stuff. Can't. Don't agree with it at all.
You made your point. I'm glad you reiterated it.
Thanks for lighting the fuse, Belton and Daryl.
It's a good point, Jamie. And I'm more cynical, but you're right. Let's keep it pure. That's what should happen, but I don't know if they can anymore.
I didn't have that cayenne pepper in my dip, so you just got it spicy, Jamie.
Spiced up the show, Jamie.
Okay, last week, the delay. It's the debate going on in the league now on how long is too long to have players and fans wait for a kickoff, because they have to have a new protocol. That is, there's no protocol for how long they will wait before a kickoff in a delayed scenario. There is within the rules for a delay within a game, but not before a game. How late do you wait, Belton?
Well, I thought they would have had some done by now.
You'd think before this week's games.
I would have thought
this. This is the CFL. They don't get things done that quickly.
I would. My thought would be about 2 hours, maybe hour and a half, but I'd be willing to go 2 hours.
Because you're at three, right?
Remember, we looked at it
at the time, right?
That's in the already.
We looked at it last week, and we thought we were interpreting the rules to say, oh, okay, the game's delayed. 3 hours is the limit. Yeah. So that seems maybe extensive, but reasonable. We can handle that. And then all of a sudden they say, and Craig Reynolds, the president, says, we didn't have to abide by any rules. So all of a sudden at 10 o'clock they say, we're going to decide at 10:45 for sure, and we might kick off at 11:15. By then, it's too long. Make a decision earlier and just let everybody go with it. You know, they had it set up. It should have been, the decision should have been made way earlier than it was made.
Mine is, it's a drop dead date based on local time.
Yeah.
It's a kickoff. We won't kick off. I think it should be 10 p.m.
Okay.
Because that game ends at 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no kickoff. So that means I have to warm up by 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need that half hour warm up. Mm-hmm. And if you can't meet that window, just say it. Just put it on the website. That means all the fans at Mosaic Stadium last week would have been like, it's 9 o'clock, and they're, no, I'm going to go home, rather than wait till 10:45, right? They would only been in that stadium for 2 hours instead of four if they had that clear. That would be my rule. And that goes, and this is where Daryl and I disagree, because he thinks that should, the 3 hours should be, if it's a 1 o'clock kickoff, 3 hours till four. I'm like,
well, yeah,
if it clears out you can push it later, I'd have a drop dead time, no kickoff later than 10 o'clock, warm up 9:30 as a protocol.
Are there rules in, say, NFL or college football?
I don't know
what they're looking at, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know if they have a rule. I think the NFL business is similar to what they're, we'll play at 2 in the morning if we have to.
As long as they can get it on TV, that's what they'll do. But, you know, the way the climate's changing, man. You know, John Gormley would be mad if I said something like this, but climate change is changing the way we deal with things now because there's fires everywhere and we're dealing with bad air conditions.
Yep. Well, you talked to any. Well, when I was talking to Jeremy O'Day about the draft for the feature, we were having the conversation. He asked me. And said, I don't remember as a player ever having a smoke delay to you. And I'm like, as a fan? And I'm like,
Nope.
And he's like, we've had like five in the last 3 years.
Yep.
It's just the reality. They need protocols in place. But the NFL.
Mostly indoors. Anyway.
Mostly indoors. And
you still have the odd team, right?
Yeah. Not as much as we have in Edmonton, Calgary, Regina, with the amount of boreal forest to our north.
Well, because even
I don't see the U.S. having that similar issue.
In L.A., right? Mm-hmm. They had the fires, but the Rams had to go play in Arizona. Or right? So,
but they made that plan well in advance,
like four days earlier.
It was early.
The Riders and Stamps could have done that. Basically, the presidents had lunch together, and they could have set up a protocol and said, "Listen, we're going to wait from 7 till 9:30. If it's not done at 9:30, we're canceling it, and we're playing again tomorrow. Let's make all the arrangements now, just in case."
Meanwhile, other news around the CFL: the Alouettes beat Toronto 26-25, a big comeback, but they probably lost Alexander for a couple of more weeks. Looked like he re-aggravated the hamstring. And the Stamps beat up on the Bombers, as we mentioned earlier, 41-20 last night. Is Calgary definitely now? Didn't see that coming.
No,
the best
either.
Team in the Canadian Football League.
And the reigning
League.
Grey Cup champion Toronto Argonauts have won one game.
Wow.
I can't wait for that wonderful man Chad Kelly to get back.
I thought he was supposed to be back week 7.
Yeah, I think so.
Not yet. Not yet.
Oh, man.
We'll see if it's this week for Toronto. A roster check, final bull prediction questions coming up before this 5 o'clock kickoff. It's on TSN. You're listening to the Green Zone pregame show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. TSN 1 has the kickoff of the Riders and the Lions. BC Place, 5 o'clock Saskatchewan time is the kickoff in a couple of minutes. We do have a couple more bold prediction questions as we get to a roster check for the Riders. A lot of change. Actually, let's start with BC because they barely have any changes. Kamoko Touré added to the roster in place of Jaleel Clemens. And Jonah Tavai is back for Marcus Moore. End of story for the BC Lions. Meanwhile, Sam Emilis is back for the Riders after that foot injury. Deshaun Mims comes off. Tommy Neild is healthy. He gets Mitch Pickton pushed to a healthy scratch. Daniel Johnson, offensive lineman, is out. Darius Washington makes his first CFL start at left tackle. On defense, Tavon Campbell returns to the secondary. Antoine Brooks Jr. takes a seat. Mario Alford is out with a hip injury. So we'll see Dre McCray for the first time this season. And defensive tackle Caleb Sanders is back. Aaron Patrick moved to a healthy scratch. So with Dre McCray's debut after an impressive preseason, kick, punt, missed field goal, return yards, and his longest return of the night. Belton, you have him eaten. I'm interested to see how many kick returns yards does this guy get.
Let's go 117.
How many punt return yards?
62.
Missed field goal. Keep in mind they have Sean White as a field goal kicker.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to go zero.
I'm going zero as well.
And his longest return of the night?
Either one or just
longest return.
Let's go 67.
67. Who?
Touchdown?
If it's good, no, it's got to be a kick return for 67. So not sure that's going to be TD. But anyways, Daryl, do you want to go or do you want me to?
Yeah, let's 90 yards kickoff returns.
90?
Yeah.
Punt returns?
Oh, 50.
Missed field goal?
You guys both said zero. Sean White doesn't miss many, but
are you going to say one?
Yeah.
Let's the go 10. Is right.
Yeah, 15 yards. Okay. 25 yards is going to have to be, right, to get it out.
25. Let's go with a 12-yard return. all right, and his longest return?
Longest return of 37 yards.
37 kick returns. I'll go above you, Belton.
Ooh.
I'll say 125. Punt returns, I'm going to go below Daryl at 40. His longest return will be 31 is what I have there. So, Dre McCray makes his debut for the Rough Riders as Mario Alford is out today. Dre McCray talked about this opportunity of getting in and how much Mario's been a help.
He just helps me wherever I need, if he has a tip or something, or if I have a question. Sometimes we bounce ideas off each other just to help each other get better. And just, he's been a really big help and a really good mentor for me.
Has your preparation changed at all this week, knowing that you may get an opportunity?
Oh, not really. Just maybe being more in tune of what the other team is doing and picking Mario's brain a little bit more. Just, hey, what happens if this happens or this? So just being in tune with him a little bit more.
What's it just been like, though, to kind of have to wait your time? You're a competitor. You always want to be out there.
Just using it as a time to learn. I have one of the greatest returners in the CFL right next to me, so if I don't use it to learn, I'm not a very smart person in that aspect.
What's it like watching him? He's had a good start to the season, and does that get you excited for what you might be able to do behind these blockers?
Yeah, it's exciting to see him do what he does and how he prepares and how he approaches it, so just following suit in that, it's exciting.
What would starting in a CFL game mean for you?
It would mean a lot. Just being a professional football player in general, but being able to play and go out there and represent what this team means and what this fan base is all about, it would mean a lot.
That is Dre McCray to make his CFL debut, as is the starting left tackle, Darius Washington, in for the injured Daniel Johnson for the Riders offensive line. Okay, let's get after it. Our final score prediction before kickoff on TSN with the Riders and the Lions. Belton, I missed your pick this week. What do you got?
I'm going with the Riders.
Going Saskatchewan? What's your prediction? 29-24. Daryl Davis?
32-26, BC.
For the BC Lions. I also picked the BC Lions this week.
Man.
But I've moved my score. On the Blitz podcast with Britton, I said 28-20. Then Sam Amelis came back, and then I was just thinking the bully ball stuff. They started talking a little bit, and I'm like, I don't know. The padded practice I liked. I'm not going to flip my pick to the Riders, but I'm going to make it a closer game, 28-25 for the BC Lions in a victory at BC Place. Watermelon Smash events just wrapping up outside BC Place. How much watermelon could Belton Johnson consume in one sitting, you think? Would you do well in a watermelon eating contest?
I think I could. I mean, it's mostly water, right?
Exactly.
on a hot day, we can all consume a lot more, right?
Have it nice and cold for me, and it's sweet. Look out, Jamie.
And I'll tell you, Daryl made sure everybody's make sure nothing's going to waste. Yeah. All the leftovers are getting thrown in a bucket. They're taking them to the zoo or something like that. So animals will get fed with the leftover watermelon.
I think you could pickle the rind, can't you?
That'd be interesting. I guess you
I feel like in the South we've done that somewhere. I got to ask my mom about that.
Well,
pickled watermelon rind. That's
more to come on the Green Zone postgame show, apparently.
See if we can smoke it.
Who's going to eat?
We can smoke it.
All right. Enjoy the game. It is the Riders and the Lions. It's on TSN in a couple of minutes. And a reminder, we'll be here right after the final whistle on the Green Zone postgame show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.